That is such soothing and relaxing music. Who's ready for a nap? I don't know about you, but that sounds good to me. Cheryl, you up? You thinking? Jim's not here, so we should be good. All right. We're not even start. We're not going to start that yet, but maybe later. But hey, it's good to have everyone here. We are in our series entitled A Way Forward, and we're excited. So we're looking at the Proverbs. How many love the book of Proverbs? It's got so many great ideas in it. Just so you know, the Proverbs is an accumulation of pithy sayings that help God's people make better decisions in the present to positively impact their future. How many of you make a lot of decisions in any given day? You're like going, oh my goodness, I am deciding this. Is it this way or is it this way? And you know what? We all know it, don't we? If you make a good decision, it's a good thing. How many know sometimes we don't always make the best decisions, and we can experience the consequences of a poor decision for a while? Does that make sense? And so part of it that God wants to help us make better decisions. And so as we think about it, part of it is this idea that God wants to help us provide a way forward. And so as we think about the Proverbs, we're to come to them and just kind of like think about them, reflect on them, and not hurry through them. Now, life is filled with lots of hurry, and I think sometimes even as we approach Proverbs, we kind of like run through it because it's like verse, 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 and there's not a whole lot of congruency to it. And so we're like going, oh my goodness, it's just idea, 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 and it's kind of like all over the place. And we're like, okay, what am I supposed to get out of this? It kind of reminds me of our dog. How many of you got dogs? That the moment you put the food out, like for us, our dog comes in and you know, we get ready to feed her, and we feed her in the morning, and we feed her at 5 o'clock, and she has that internal clock that knows that it is 5 p.m. It's really great, and she starts going snaky, waiting for someone to feed her, and then you put the food, we tell our dog to sit, and she sits, and then we put the food in the bowl, and then we say, okay, and then she runs up to the bowl, and she just devours everything, not really thinking about it. She just consumes it, and then it's gone. And that's the way our dog eats. Our dog does not do a whole lot of reflecting. There's none of this, you know, like, that was an amazing meal. Our dog is like, if it's food, it goes down, we're done, let's get on to the next thing. Either that or she's trying to sneak things. So the funny things lately, so there was one time we dropped an avocado pit, and it hit the ground and took one bounce, and she got it. We're like, that wasn't good. The other day, but she's okay. This, everything, as the Bible says, this too shall pass. And so that was a good thing. And then there was the time, you know, just a couple weeks ago, we have a cat, and our cat likes to stalk rabbits. And so she got a baby bunny, and then, you know, and the cat plays with it for a bit and then gets bored and then goes to do something else. We let the dog out. The dog runs over, finds this rabbit. And so she's like, lunchtime. And we're like, Hazel, Hazel, stop, Hazel. And she just like gulp, 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 gulp. And there's no hesitation, no reflection. Now, the reason I say that is because I think sometimes as we come to Proverbs, we race through them and we don't stop and consider the ideas. And that's why we're kind of going through this series, is to actually stop and consider some of the ideas of Proverbs. And so today we're going to look at the whole idea of speaking matters. You know, we find this, that part of the wisdom that arises out of the biblical community is the idea that our world is impacted by our words. What we say matters to what we experience in life. How many know this to be true? What we say, our words, shape the environments that we're a part of. And so it becomes a major theme in the book. And so because of it, as we look at this idea of speaking matters today, my big idea is this, is that because speaking matters, wisdom is necessary. Because speaking matters, wisdom is necessary. And the reason I know this is because I discovered an idea a while ago, and this is the way I express it. There is no situation so bad that you can't open your mouth and make it worse. How many have done that before? And you know, and part of it is sometimes it's those split-second decisions. Do I say it? Do I not say it? And so part of the thing we're going to look at is how do we manage words? Now, as we look at it, we're going to look in a variety of different places. The place I want to begin is Proverbs 18:20 and 21 that says this. From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. But you see that the tongue has the power of life and death. We can say some things and it brings life to situations, and we can say other things and it brings death to situations. We know this in our lives. We've seen it happen to us where people have come around us and they have said things to us, and sometimes it's like it's an infusion of life and it inspires us, and all of a sudden we're like, we can live at a higher level. You know, so-and-so believes. They've spoken this about me, and it just lifts us. Yet there are other times where people speak words to us, words that damage and go deep, that we carry the voice and the words with us over and over and over and over again. And it shapes our understanding of ourselves, the way we see our world, the way we interact. Our words are powerful. And this is what the Proverbs want us to understand. Our words are powerful. There was that old saying that I grew up hearing, and you did too, and you know it's not true. But sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many know that's like not even true? That's just wishful thinking. Because words can wound so very deeply. And the Proverbs say, listen, our tongue, the things we speak, have the power of life and death. And part of the idea that we see that arises out of the Bible is this idea that our words are shaping our world. Like the things that you are saying in your relationship between you and your spouse, the things you're saying to your children, the things that you're saying at work, the things you're saying in, you know, whether you're at school or in the community, the things you are saying shapes the world you're a part of. And it shouldn't surprise us, because the Bible helps us understand that God, that we are created in the image of God, and it was God who made the world with his words. So it tells us in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness hovered over the earth, and the Spirit of God was present. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And that when he spoke, something was created. And so it's no different for you and me, because we are then, it goes on to say, we are created in his image. And because of that, we speak, and our words are shaping the world we're a part of. Now, because of our fallen nature, because we all have something that's inherently bent within us, we not only have, like God, when he speaks, and as you read through the creation account, everything ends with the declaration that it is good. And then the very final is very good, that there's a sense of a goodness that comes from God shaping. Yet you and I both know there are many times that we've spoken, and the thing we've created isn't good. And the reason is because of our fallen nature. And because of that, we have the ability to speak things in such a way that it begins to create destruction, it begins to ruin. Proverbs 18:7 reminds us, or tells us, that the mouths of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives. Like the things that they say, and just so you know, I speak from so much experience in this, because I have said so many things that have just gotten me in trouble. Okay, you want to hear a few of them? These are the fun ones. Okay, that time I went to the eye doctor, right? And I was going to get my vision checked. And my eye doctor comes in, and I say, oh, when are you due? And she had already had a baby 5 months ago. And I was like, oh, you don't say that. That's what and I hear my wife in my head, Dave, you dummy. And then I'm like, Dave, you dummy. Because you don't say that stuff. And so like I say things like that, right? There was another time that I was working in the deli. This is my young, stupid self. Like, and then just, you know, I wrestle with this stuff. And I remember I was working in a deli at the cafeteria, or the deli at the school I went to, and this lady came in, and I asked if she was in a drama, because she had so much makeup on, and I thought she was wearing stage makeup. And she asked why, and so I told her why. It's like, oh, well, your makeup, you know, it's a good makeup job, because I used to do, like, theater and makeup, and I kept going. And I just wouldn't stop. And I just remember I kept digging and digging and digging. You just like, just fool, shut your mouth. Because we all know that our words can lead to our undoing, right? And just so you know, the church has recognized from the very beginning the power of the tongue. Like, and again, if you can change the way you speak, you can change the way you live. Like, this is part of this idea. If you can change the way you speak to others, the way you speak in this world, you can change the world you're a part of. Like, your marriage can get better if you speak better. Your relationship with your children can begin to change if you change your words so that your words are reflecting the good stuff. So James, the brother of Jesus, would actually write this. He talks about the power of the tongue when he says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. So he's talking about this big, powerful animal like a horse you can direct with a little itty bit that's in the mouth. He goes on to say, or take ships as an example, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark, and the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. And so there's this sense that, you know what, there's this aspect, this brokenness part of us that begins to speak in situations, and all of a sudden, instead of life coming, destruction takes place. James would go on to say all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And sometimes just when we think we got a hold of our stuff, all of a sudden we find ourselves in a situation and what's inside starts to come out. You know, when Jesus talked about our words, Jesus said this. Jesus said that from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, we've all heard the saying that the eyes are the window to the soul. How many of you, when you were dating, you looked longingly into the eyes of that one that you, your heart pitter-pattered after, and you saw their soul, and you're like, oh, that's so beautiful. And so we say that eyes are a window to the soul. But Jesus tells us that our words are a window to our heart. If you want to know what's inside a person, listen to what they say. If you want to know what the character of a person is, listen to the words that they're saying. Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we see that words are powerful. Words are a window to our heart. But not only that, we are ultimately responsible for our words. That you and I are responsible for our words. The situations around us may happen, and there may be the blowing and the rushing of winds all around us. Yet ultimately, when it comes down to it, you and I are responsible for our own words. And because we're responsible for our words, each of us must give an account for it. You know, and a few moments ago, we sang the song about how everybody stands before God. And part of the idea that every human, it doesn't matter whether they believe God, don't believe God, follow Jesus, don't follow Jesus, doesn't matter. The Bible says everybody at some point gives an account for their life. And Jesus would say this, the account isn't just for what we've done, it's also for what we've said. So Jesus tells his followers this, but I tell you that everyone will give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. That every word will be held to account before God. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that's a dreadful thought, because I have said some terrible things. And this is part of the reason why you and I, we need a Savior. This is why we need Jesus a part of our life, because Jesus does something for us we can't do for us, and that is He has the ability to change our hearts. Because if we allow Him to change our hearts, He's going to begin to change our words. And if we allow Him to change our hearts, what changes our words, it begins to change our lives. And this is what's so amazing about Jesus, because this aspect of forgiveness, we can find forgiveness. We can find a way to break free from that aspect of our lives where we speak things that destroy. And he begins to work in us and change so that even as we speak, we can experience his goodness and his grace. And this is why wisdom is needed. Because wisdom, this idea of wisdom, it's part of God's counsel for you and for me to speak words that bring life. This is why I say that because speaking matters, wisdom is necessary. And not only does Jesus help us experience forgiveness, but he empowers us with his Spirit. He inspires us with his word, but he also empowers us with his Spirit so that we can live in such a way that our words begin to bring life. And so as we look at Proverbs, I want to note five practices of life-giving speech. That practices you and I, we can develop so that our words begin to bring life. And the first thing I think we need to do is we need to determine our intent. Proverbs 12:18 says this, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. You know, whenever I think about swords, I think about my kids, because we've always played with sword type things, and so it's always kind of fun. I remember one time I went into the garage because when we were at the parsonage, because Emily was screaming in pain, and her and Jonathan were sword fighting. She had a foam sword, and he had a broomstick. He hit her. And we're like, "Jonathan, what are you thinking?" And he's like, "I didn't mean to." How many know that many times we cause hurt that we don't mean because our words are sometimes just reckless? Kind of like swords. And sometimes we can say things flippantly or in passing that cut very deeply in people. And so the writer of Proverbs helps us understand that the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I think this is so important because we live in a world where there are lots of words. There are lots of words that are spoken. There are lots of words that are written. There are lots of words that are communicated. And many times those words are used to hurt and to maim. You know, we can watch in all sorts of different ways as people lash out with their dialogue, with their different things, in order to diminish and in order to hurt. Yet as we look at the life of Jesus, wherever Jesus went, I think one of the things that is compelling about Jesus is if you watch his life, as you read the story of his life, you find out that wherever he goes, he brings healing. Like there are people who are broken, you know, there's people with leprosy, and there's different people who are paralyzed, and there are people with all sorts of issues going on. And Jesus steps in and brings healing. And for us, it's deeply compelling, and that's the Jesus we serve and the Jesus we hunger for, because we look at our world, we look at our lives, and we see the brokenness around us, and we cry out, "Jesus, we need you to bring healing to these situations." And you know what? That's what his heart is. But the thing we have to understand, that part of the way that he brings healing to the world around us is sometimes through us. And this is why this proverb is so amazing in Proverbs 12:18, because the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And this is why I think when I say that if the practices of life-giving speech is actually having an aim, a target of your life that says, you know what, the words that I'm going to speak are going to be words that bring healing rather than brokenness. Proverbs 15:4 will say this, that the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. Now, for those who are familiar with Genesis chapter 2, that's where God makes the garden. And in the garden, the center of the Garden of Eden, there are two trees. One is the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the place where humanity messed it up. But there was also another tree, and that was the tree of life. And when humanity fell, they were removed from the garden. And part of the barring from the garden is so that they couldn't taste of the tree of life again. Yet the proverb says, listen, when you begin to speak words of healing, when you begin to speak wise word, your tongue actually becomes something that begins to infuse life into others. And this is why I think this is so important. You and I have to make the decision. My words are going to bring life rather than death. If we're going to have life-giving speech, not only do we need to determine our intent, which I believe is to bring healing rather than death through our words, I think secondly, we also have to embrace truthfulness. Truthful speech is helpful speech. Deceptive speech is hurtful or harmful speech. This is what Proverbs 14:5 says. An honest witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. An honest witness, one who bears testimony, one who gives words or speaks words about what they've experienced, that there's this whole idea that an honest witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. And part of this, I think, is so important because without truthfulness, there cannot be justice. Without truthfulness, there cannot be justice. And just so you know, one of the words in the New Testament that's often translated righteousness, and we find it in the Old Testament, righteousness as well, carries a broader meaning than just something that's religious, though it encompasses that, or a moral rightness. It also speaks to the idea of something that is just. Because we all have that sense when we are wronged, something needs to be done to make it right again. Have you ever been wronged? And you're like, dude, man, somebody owes me an apology. Man, they broke my stuff. They owe me for that stuff to be made right again. So that sense of being made right or righteousness or justice. And the truth is that in our world, without truthfulness, there cannot be justice. Not only that, without truthfulness, there cannot be soundness. And this goes back to this idea, as I noted earlier, that truthful speech is helpful speech, but deceptive speech is harmful speech. You see, I think many times in our world, people are building their lives on illusion. So as I talk about truthfulness, there cannot be soundness. I'm talking about a firm, sound foundation. Everybody is building their life on something. Like the question isn't what are people building? Everybody is building their life on something. And the thing that you're building your life on is your foundation. And the question is it sound? Is it true? Because the reality is, without truthfulness, there cannot be soundness. So I think this is part of relationship stuff, right? Like, if you're in a relationship, you know, you and your spouse, if truthfulness is not a part of the relationship's going to be on an unstable foundation. This is why Jesus will say, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The problem is that many people want to live a life based on their own truth rather than that which is true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And there's this sense that unless Jesus provides the foundation for our being, everything ultimately is unstable. You see, sometimes we don't like the truth because we don't want to have to deal with the consequences of what's true. And it's easier sometimes to live in illusion. But we really can't become all that God's called us to be. We really can't live or grow without truth. This is why I think honesty is so important in communication. Lies don't help. This is why God's word is so important for us, because in it we find a truth that helps us understand what is true. What is true about God, what is true about ourselves, what is true about our problem, what is true about our future, what is true about how to negotiate this whole journey. Proverbs 24:26 says that an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel that an honest answer is like the back of a hand. You know what I mean? Like, dang, that sucker stings. But as I noted last week, wounds from a friend can be trusted. And so there's actually this idea in this proverb, in Proverbs 24:26, that an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips, is that this intimacy or this idea of genuine friendship is rooted in truthfulness, in honesty. And so I think that if we're going to be people who speak words that are life-giving, then it's got to be rooted in truth. So we need to embrace truth. Thirdly, if we are going to practice life-giving speech, not only do we need to determine our intent, embrace truthfulness, but we also have to value others. Now, this is what I know. Sometimes people use truth as a weapon to wound people, carelessly and needlessly. Sometimes we use truth in order to gain advantage for ourselves, or maybe it's to put down another person. And that is not what we are called to do as the kingdom of God. That is not what we are called to be as followers of Jesus. So Paul will tell the church, we need to learn to speak the truth in love. That even where there's honest communication flourishes in an environment of love. If you pull love away from honest communication, you'll find a place where there's incredible hurt. Well, you'll find there'll be injustice, all these wonderful things. And so what you need is you need this sense of love. And the love is not defined by how the world defines it, as we talked last week. The love is defined by Christ's example to us. You see, we need to allow our love for others to restrain our speech sometimes. That even in our in being truthful, we're not being harmful or we're not being hurtful. But we're being people who hold, where we value the relationship. We hold the other as one who is created by God and loved by Him. So so Proverbs will actually talk a whole lot about this idea of gossip. And the idea of gossip is that, you know what, sometimes we're sharing stuff where we shouldn't be sharing it, and I think sometimes in the church we mask our gossip spiritually. So we say things like, hey, you need to be praying for so-and-so because did you hear? And then it's just like all that fun stuff, right? But Proverbs 20:19 says this: a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. Did you hear that last part? A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid one who talks too much. Because you ever met people who talk too much? They're sharing business that ain't their business. And it's just like on and on and on and on and on. You see, sometimes in our speech, we want it to be life-giving, but sometimes we're doing things that are in a sense poisoning the well for other people. You see, sometimes we tell other people about a problem that they have, and that idea all of a sudden begins to prejudice one's interactions with them. This is why Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. That this idea that sometimes we're not valuing other people, and so we'll speak about them and we'll demean them and we'll say this and that. And sometimes it may be true, but what we're doing is we're separating, we're creating division. I think part of the reason is because gossip, this is what it says in Proverbs 26:22, that the words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. There's just something delicious about being in the know, isn't there? Did you hear about so-and-so? And we do this. We use Facebook for this. We use news for this. We use all sorts of things because we want to be in the know. And sometimes it can be so satisfying to have all the dirt and all the junk on all these different people. And it goes to the inmost parts. You see, I think that what we have to do is not only do we have to be truthful, but we also have to value other people and see them as people that God cares deeply about. And even in their messed up state, which how many here are in a messed up state? I'll raise my hand because I'm in that one. And I'm not talking about New York. Though it seems messed up at times. Don't amen me. Or Ohio. I know we have people from all over here. It's great. But the truth is that we have to be people that we just have to value people. To care about people with the love that Christ has for them. Our worth is not determined by our conditions. Did you know that our worth isn't even determined by our choices? Did you know another person's value is not determined by their conditions, and another person's value is not determined by their choices? We live in a world that tries to make it about those things. Our value is determined by Christ Jesus, who gave his life for everyone on the cross of Calvary. And God cares deeply about people. It doesn't mean that God, thinks everything everybody does is okay. But he cares about them enough that he wants good. And I think that as the church, what are we called to be? Because the words that we use need to reflect our value of others. See, Paul would write about it this way. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So the idea is what I'm saying about others, is it building them up? Is it benefiting them? Or is it for me? Just to feel good about it. So I think if we're going to practice life-giving speech, we have to determine our intent, we have to embrace truthfulness, we need to value others, and we also need to discipline our responses. So Proverbs 13:3 says this, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. I like that idea, speaking rashly. That those are those times where we allow the moments to determine our words rather than our commitments. Okay, how many of you drive and then that slow driver? So here's my confession. Driving over from Dryden to Lansing today, we were behind all the slow drivers. I was like, good Lord, we are never going to get here. And what's great, because Kristen was over there, she's helping us this morning. She's like, how did you get here so fast? And I'm like going, good Lord, it took forever. We were in front of all the slow people, and I will confess my annoyance and my irritation. And then I started saying things like, good Lord, would you just drive? Now, they can't hear me, but how many know what's inside comes out, right? Right, and so they're, just so you know, Pastor Dave's still working on patience, which is a work in progress. But many times, we allow our circumstances to determine our responses rather than our commitments. So sometimes we allow the moment, the heat of an argument to affect what it is we say. How many of you had those moments? You've had the argument and you said stuff you wish you would never have said, but the pressure of the moment seemed so great it needed saying. And that's just the idea that what's inside comes out. The situation never put the junk in you. That junk is in you. It's the pressure of the situation that brings it out. And what happens sometimes is we allow the pressure of circumstances to determine our responses rather than our commitments. This is why in marriage, it's so important, because marriage is a commitment to one another. You remember, better for worse, sickness and health, poorer, richer, all that fun stuff. That sometimes the pressure of marriage, you say things, and it comes to the surface. And you have to determine, what am I going to say in these moments? Am I going to speak from the moment, or am I going to speak from my commitment? And part of it is learning to live by our commitments. And this goes back to when we talked about integrity a couple weeks ago. Proverbs 20:25 says, it's a trap to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider one's vows. See, sometimes our words are getting us in trouble because we're saying yes to things and we really haven't evaluated them within the larger picture of our life. Anybody here ever have a problem with overcommitting? Filling up the schedule a little too much? Because sometimes it's hard to say no. Yet there's this aspect that, and I think part of how do we develop this is we have to actually learn to pause between our feeling and our speaking. Because our feeling is what gets us, when we speak from our feelings, that sometimes wrecks us. Rather than pausing and then pushing it through our responses, through our commitments, rather than our circumstances. Does that make sense? I tell you, you do that, it starts changing everything. Okay, lastly. And this is the one where I get to read one of my favorite proverbs. This is one of my favorites. I'll get there. I have to read one first. But if we are going to do life, life-giving speech, we determine our intent. And again, part of that intent, it's about speaking words that heal rather than words that harm or hurt. It's about embracing truthfulness. It's about valuing others. It's about disciplining responses. And fifthly, it's about paying attention to the audience and the context. Proverbs 23:9 says this, "Do not speak to fools, for they will scorn your prudent words." How many know not everybody is ready to hear what you have to say? Okay? It reminds me of a saying my mom taught me. Just because you have something to say doesn't mean it needs to be said. How many know that to be true? How many of you got something to say? I got something to say. Just because you have something to say doesn't mean it needs to be said. What we have to do is we actually have to pay attention to the audience and the context. Which leads me to one of my favorite proverbs. I got a whole bunch, but I love this one. Because I can just imagine the context from which this proverb arises. Ready for it? If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Can you imagine how that one came about? Okay, moment of truth. How many of you are morning people? Raise your hand. We will pray for you in a moment. I'm just kidding. How many of you, you're like midday, I start, that's when you're like a slow starter. So in our marriage between like Rachel and I, she likes to start quiet. I just start. And sometimes it's like, she's like, Dave, would you just quiet, right? And this is why I love this, and this is why in our communicating, we need to be mindful not just of what we have to say, but our audience and our context. Because how many know you can say the right thing at the wrong time, and it will be taken the wrong way? Loudly blessing. How many know blessing your neighbor is a good thing? Doing it loudly in the morning, maybe not so much, because it may be taken as a curse. You know, sometimes there's some stuff going on in your relationships where you're dealing with some of the friction simply because you're not paying attention to the audience or the context. Okay, I'm going to stir up trouble, and then I'll close. Because I've seen this happen, right? There's a spouse that wants to have, you know, a wife wants a great conversation with her husband while he's watching football. And his attention's here, and her attention's on some issue, and then she brings it up, and then the question becomes, he doesn't care about me. He cares more about the football, right? And it gets messy. I've seen the mess. It's fun. And it's just a simple reminder that saying the right thing at the wrong time may be taken in the wrong way. And part of it is we have to, because I think I am in a room filled with people who want to speak life. And part of that is recognizing that this whole idea of communication isn't just about me. And when we begin to value one another and we begin to value our relationships and we value our commitments, all of a sudden we find that our words are beginning to produce life rather than death. Because speaking matters, wisdom is necessary. I've said a lot of things today. I've reminded you that our words are powerful. They're shaping the worlds. They're shaping our worlds. We've talked about how our words are a window to our heart. You want to know what's in a person, listen to what they say. We've talked about that. You and I were responsible for our words. We've also looked at five practices of life-giving speech. Now, as a pastor, I know this. You are going to remember none of this. Okay, very little of this. That's okay. I still love you deeply. And even thinking about, boy, I got to apply five things. I'm like, I can't even remember what number one is. And so this, I'm trying to help you this morning. I just want you to pick one of the five. In this next week, which one do you need to work on? Like in your life of speaking and communicating, what is the one of the five that you're like, you know what, that's the one, Jesus, I'm going to need your help with. Maybe it's determining your intent. Maybe it's just making the simple commitment. You know what my commitment this week is? Is that everything I say this week is going to be something that's going to give life. I'm just going to be really focused on making sure that when I speak to my wife or my husband, my kids, my friends, my family, my coworkers, anyone in my community, that when I speak to them, it's going to be something that brings life. Maybe it's about embracing truthfulness. Maybe you're just feeling, because maybe there's some things where you haven't been absolutely truthful and honest, even in relationship. And in a sense, you're building something on deception, something or illusion, something that's not true. And you're saying, you know what? I'm just gonna embrace honesty this week. And again, not unhooked from love, but rooted in love. Maybe it's about valuing others. Maybe you're in the place where, you know, where it says there's a place that says when words are many, sin is not absent. And maybe for you this week in your relationships, and you're like going, hey, you know what? For me, the thing that I need to do is I need to speak less, and I need to like just be aware more. And maybe this week will just be the week where you'll say, you know what? I'm just going to be really intentional about valuing others and seeking to understand. And just so you know, next week we're going to kind of build off this message and talk about listening. So today we're kind of talking about speaking. Next week, we'll talk about listening, but you can get a head start on it. Maybe you'll make the decision just to discipline your responses. Maybe before, if you're a person that's been jumping to things really quickly, allowing your circumstances to determine what you're saying, maybe you'll say this week, I am going to practice pausing between my emotion and my response, between my circumstances and my decisions. I'm just gonna be intentional about creating pause. Maybe it's about being more mindful of your audience, the one you're talking with, in the context, in order that you might improve. Because I am convinced that if we'll just take a little bit of this wisdom and apply it to our lives, it does us no good just to know it. It's about living it. If we can begin to live it, I'm convinced that God not only begins to change us, but he changes the world around us. And like you, I come to this whole journey saying, God, would you just help me again? Because my mouth gets me in more trouble than I should. But he offers us grace this morning. And so I just want to challenge you to allow God to speak to your heart. And allow your speaking to reflect God's heart in all that you do and say. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we recognize that because speaking matters, wisdom is necessary. And God, we are in the place where we just need your help. Lord, you know where each one is at. Lord, you see every relationship, you see every struggle. You see those places where life is being manifest, and Lord, you see those places where there is deep struggle. And God, I know that Lord, all of us, we have been in places where we have said things we regret. Lord, we have said things that instead of bringing life have brought incredible pain and hurt. And Lord Jesus, we need your forgiveness today. God, we need you to touch our hearts because, Lord, unless our hearts change, God, our words aren't going to change. So God, we bring you all our hurts, our brokenness, every sin. God, those moments where we feel we know better than you how to experience fullness of life, and we just confess our need of you. Lord, would you help us in our journey today? Lord, even as we make decisions about how we're going to use our words this week, would you help us honor you? I thank you that you're reaching out to us. And we give our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.